Praise the Lord, everybody. Did they mention the marriage fellowship that's coming up on the 14th? Okay, well, you can see Sister Natalie, Brother Chris, on the 14th, which I think is this Saturday, is it? They have a marriage fellowship. And we do have someone coming to speak. So even for those of you who don't really come to things, we would like you to come if you're married. We try very hard to invest in people, but when you don't invest in yourself, it makes it difficult. See them about that. And I know they have a flyer out front as well. And then furthermore, if you don't invest in your marriage, it makes it really 10 times harder. Call me grumpy, grouchy, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I've reached a place in my life where if people aren't going to invest in themselves, don't call me and ask me to pray for you. I'm serious. Don't call me and complain about your marriage if you're not going to invest in it. I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. Listen, I'm not God. If you're not going to do anything, what do you want me to do? I'm not a voodoo. You know, I don't have magical powers or anything like that. And, you know, marriage fellowship, it is an investment. You know, you get together with other couples. You know, sometimes you have conversations with each other and you begin to realize, well, you're not alone in what you're doing. You know, and that's everything in life. One of Satan's number one tactics is to make us feel like we're isolated and alone, like it's just me. Well, you don't understand my marriage. Well, there's a couple hundred million other marriages out there in the world as well, but Satan tries to make us feel like it's just us. And a pastor I was talking to a couple weeks ago, and he asked me, how's things going? I said, well, some people are just being idiots. I'm just telling you how we have conversations. When you walk away from God, I don't know what you want me to call it. It's just stupid. To walk away from God is just the dumbest thing you could ever do. I'm not saying people are stupid. I'm saying the decisions are stupid. It's just dumb, especially in this day and age. And he goes, oh, well, I thought I was the only one having those problems. They said, no, sir, you're not. So my point is, you know, it's you gotta invest in yourself. I feel like a broken record. I know you feel like I am too, but I get so grieved at people that won't help themselves. That's all. And I always wish I could do more, but I'm not going to try anymore. People won't try. So that's what marriage fellowship is about. Was that good, Natalie? Brother Chris, was that good? I get my Starbucks gift card after we're done here. Real quick, I want to say thank you to those that not only just really gave to support the Chinese auction, but those that, you know, came and supported it. And those, some people just gave like a lot of items. And then for those that were here till 1 o'clock this morning, actually 2 o'clock. And helped out. And I'm not saying if you left at 1:30, I'm excluding you. Okay. You know, I'm not excluding you, but I'm thankful for those people. I am. I love everybody, but I'm thankful for those that really pour themselves out to make things happen. And yeah, we're all tired. That's life. But it was a huge success, the biggest one we've ever had, and I think the most success we've had with one. And I don't know how you guys all felt, but I felt like this one's different. I asked the group if they'd let me pray for our country before we started, and we did. And it seemed to be very well supported. We handed out some Easter invites to everybody that was here. It was just good. And my mom would be thrilled, and she'd be thankful. And Last thing I'll say, it's not because my mom is more special than anybody else, but she was the very first member here. So to me, she is more special. She's kind of stuck it out after all those years. So thank you, everybody, that really, you know, all of you that did so much. I'm so, so grateful for you. I really am. We appreciate it. But Sister Cassano, they gave a whole ton of stuff. I mean, it seemed like every other basket was the Cassano's name. Dan and Angel robbed a Stanley store somewhere and had 1,000. You're going to go around Asheville County and you're going to see 1,000 pink Stanley cups. Now, Brother Frank, all the things you made people love, they were fighting over your welcome sign. And I think, didn't you win that? Or your daughter did? And did she give it to you? Did she give you that welcome sign? Okay. Sister Lori wanted that welcome sign so bad, and her daughter won it. And so I thought, well, she better give that to her. And everybody else that gave, I shouldn't call names out, but we thank you for it. So I know you're thinking, I want to go home and take a nap, so can you get into the Word? Genesis 8 and 20. Even this little guy, and I'm not talking about Kenny, he was here till the very end. And look at him. He's wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, and he likes me, so I'm going to talk about him all the time. I'm going to sing him out. Every time I talk to him, he smiles at me. Some of you grouches won't even look at me. That's why I like kids. Hey, buddy. Me and you are going to be friends. He's smiling at me again. Keith, we love you. Genesis 8 and 20, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, the cold and heat, the summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I don't know who's praying. Brother Carter's going to pray. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes today on the title, The Blessing of This Day.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here today, this morning. Lord, I pray that we could open our ears, God, to what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you could give pastor strength and peace, Lord, to bring the message that you've given us. Lord, I pray that we could take this into our lives, into our prayer lives, and I pray, Lord, that we can strengthen our walks with you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, over the service, I pray, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. In
Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. As I have previously stated, I'm convinced that Noah, and if you disagree, that's okay, you're welcome to be wrong, but I'm convinced that Noah was terrified to offend God after he came out of the ark. I remember when Bishop Pasley passed away, he was at his funeral, and I'm going to be honest with you, it struck fear in me. And all I kept thinking over the following weeks was, if God can take such a great man, what hope do I have? It messed me all up. And I think that's sort of what Noah felt when he came out of the ark. I think for a moment, I'm fully convinced that he realized it could have been me and my family. But of all the people in this life, God chose to spare me and my family. And so there's no doubt there was a fear there, a healthy fear. Fear is good. Our world has lost the ability to fear when they should. We're afraid of shadows, and we're not afraid of hell. We're afraid of darkness, but we're not afraid of outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wish I could get someone to help me. And so we've lost the ability to have that healthy fear that the Bible tells us is the beginning of all wisdom. So he steps out and he realizes that that's it, just them. They're the only ones that are left. And he builds this great altar. I don't want to belabor the issue all the time, but just for context, God told Noah to build the ark. He told him how to build it, how high, how tall, how wide, where to put the windows, where to put the doors. God told him when to go in the ark. God shut the door. God didn't say anything else until the waters abated from the earth. And then there were four, I believe, different occasions where after he opened the roof of the ark, which is probably some form of cloth, he opened it up and he'd realized the waters had abated, but he would not leave the ark until he had a direct word from the Lord. But when it came to the altar, God never told him a word about the altar. Noah chose to build the altar. Noah chose to make a sacrifice. Because God will give us all sorts of directions and reproofs and corrections in our lives, but God will never tell us how big to make our altar. That's a personal choice. And it's also a personal choice what we're going to put on the altar of sacrifice. It's a very powerful choice. And so he builds this great altar, which absolutely impacts the heart of God. And God makes this pledge that he'll never again destroy the earth for man's sake. Sometimes I see news reports and I feel a sense of fear of the Lord. Not of people or things, not of disease, but of the Lord. When you wake up every day and you hear someone else has cancer and somebody else just lost their life and somebody else went through this and somebody else isn't going to make it, it puts something in your spirit. But we are so short-sighted anymore as a people that unless it's before our face, we don't think about it. It does not guide our steps. Every day that God gives us is a blessing. Not a blessing to be used for ourselves. Not a blessing to obtain more worldly possessions, but a blessing to serve God another day. And so I'm convinced sometimes that the desolation and the destruction all around us is God's way of trying to get us to be thankful and cherish what God has given us rather than become a world of complainers and allow the desolation of this world to swallow us up. I'm convinced that God uses it to get our attention. I am convinced that there was a lesson taught when Noah built that altar that should be passed down for generations. Noah didn't come out and whine and complain of who didn't make it. He didn't whine because God didn't answer his prayers. He didn't whine because of how long he was in the storm. He didn't whine because things weren't going his way. No, what he did was he came out and he built an altar and he gave thanks. When I was starting to write these things down, I had news reports over the years that I had read, and so I just began to write some of them down. Mother steps out of her room. Toddler's in the high chair. The toddler does what toddlers do. The toddler, kicking his feet, pushes off on the table. The high chair falls back, falls into a glass cabinet, cuts the main artery in the toddler's neck. The mother comes in to watch her baby bleeding out on the floor. Police officer recently I read woke up, had headaches so severe he finally went to the hospital. That day they diagnosed him with a bad sinus infection. It went to his brain. He died the next day. 36 years old. 21-year-old woman went hiking. She stepped off the trail somehow, couldn't get back on the trail. She called 911. They found her 6 hours later, dead of hypothermia, 21 years old. UPS plane crashes upon takeoff. A lady went into the local scrapyard that was outside the runway. She walked in to drop off a load of scrap to get some money for that day, right as that plane crashed. And of course, the collateral damage took her life. She never came out of there. The toddler and the 7-year-old, brother and sister, who were mauled to death by the family dogs of 7 years. The parents said, I don't understand. These dogs have never showed an ounce of aggression ever before. But that day, those dogs flipped and killed both of their children. The mother took her toddler to see puppies at grandma's house. As the toddler was looking at the puppies, 3 adult dogs got loose, came after the toddler. The mother threw herself over her toddler's body, and the mother wound up losing her life trying to spare her own child. The big one that's gripped us all, the grandmother, who somebody came into her house in the middle of the night, and yet 3-4 weeks later, they've yet to find her, just gone. Disappeared. No one knows what's happening. 600,000 people every year are reported missing in the United States. That's 600,000 people. Something happens where one day someone is just gone and they don't know what it is. 38% in the last 20 years have never returned. 38%. Heart disease takes 680,000 people every year. Cancer, 613,000 people. Unintentional injuries, just accidents, 222,000. Stroke takes 162,000. Chronic lower respiratory disease claims 145,000. Alzheimer's disease, 114,000. Diabetes, 95,000 deaths every year. Kidney disease, 55,000 deaths. Chronic liver disease and cirrhosis of the liver, 52,000 deaths. COVID-19, 50,000 deaths. Suicide, 48,000 deaths. Homicide, 23,000 deaths. And you know what we do? We complain when winter comes because it gets darker sooner, and then we complain when we lose an hour and get more sunlight back because we lost an hour. It's what we do. That is the American way. We complain if we don't have enough money to buy the latest and the greatest. We complain at each other. We complain, husband and wives complain at each other because we're not perfect. And we complain when the other has a bad day and starts snapping and biting heads off. We complain about that. And then that role is reversed at some point, and the other one's having a bad day, snapping and biting, and we complain about that. Rather than being thankful that we're here, that our whole family came home tonight and our whole family woke up this morning. When I first ran for the school board, and thank God that's coming to an end, I got to finish another 3.5 years, and it's going to be a long 3.5 years. I remember a lady that helped me on my initial campaign. She was one of the driving forces behind it. I called her up one day. Phone rang a couple times. Someone answered. I said, Esther. She said, no, this is her daughter. I said, oh, can I speak to Esther? She said, I'm sorry. She passed away in her sleep last night. They came up. They found her. She sat up on the bed, and she passed away sitting on the edge of her bed. How many people go to bed and never wake up the next morning, yet we complain because we can't get a cup of coffee? Boy, I feel like I could preach. We complain because everybody's not perfect. We complain because we're gaining weight. We complain because we're losing weight. We complain if our hair is too short. We complain if our hair is too long. We complain about our wrinkles. There are people that spend half the winter on the other side of the world without heat and 0-degree weather for a month, and we complain because we can't buy the latest and greatest car that we want. I'm convinced that what's happening in our world today, I'm convinced, we know it's scripture. We know that God is coming for his church soon. And there will be people who will never heed that warning. They'll go back, they'll leave. Some will leave here today and you'll go back to the same choices and you'll do the same stuff. We won't get serious about our walk with God, but that's a whole nother story. I'm being honest. I mean, you get mad at me for caring about your soul if you want to. I don't know what else to do. I'd rather people not go to hell. That's all. I'd rather people not be lost. I forgot what I was saying before that. Anybody remember? We'll come back to it. So Noah comes out of this boat, and rather than complain about anything, he could have complained that his house was lost in the flood. He could have complained that his cat if his cat was lost in the flood. He could have complained about anything. His best friends, the work he's got to do now. Where do we start at, God? I mean, I understand, but you know, now you're asking us to start all over. But he didn't. He came out with a spirit of thankfulness. He was thankful. I am alive. My family is alive. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and everybody else wakes up, I thank God. You know why? Because I didn't have to wake up. He don't owe me anything. God owes me nothing. He never made a promise to me that I'll wake up every day. He never made any promises to me that at this stage in my life, I would be still pretty healthy and my children would be healthy. He never made those promises to me. God didn't and does not owe me anything. Nothing. But yet, I've tried to teach myself to be thankful for the little things. The blessing of this day is not what comes ahead of me from here on out. The blessing of this day is that my family is still together. The blessing of this day is that my children are still in church serving God. The blessing, there's so many blessings of this day. They have nothing to do with how much money I make. They have nothing to do with my car breaking down or still running for another 10 years. Those are little chinks in the armor, but the blessing of this day. But we, as Americans, have become a people that are selfish and self-centered and focused on me, myself, and I. And we complain when God doesn't do what we ask him to do. Like driving through the drive-thru and going back around a second time saying, I told you I don't want pickles. But that's become a part of our DNA. God, I've asked you now for 3 weeks, and you haven't done anything. God, I've been praying about this for a year, and nothing's happened. God, where are you? You said you'd be there when I needed you. It is the spirit of our day. But when tragedy strikes, I'm convinced it's God's way of saying, wake up, people, and get back on track. Wake up, world, and realize what really matters. Wake up and realize that tomorrow's not promised. Wake up and realize that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Wake up and realize that you won't always have tomorrow. Wake up and stop living just for your own selfish ambitions and thank God for every moment that he gives you. I know some of you may say, well, Pastor, you haven't been what I've been through. And I may not have. Doug and Laura, you might not believe me, but there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about your daughter. And you've been noble in all of that. And I've never lost a child. But I've been through things that some of you haven't been through. It might not compare. We all have a journey to, we all have a road to travel. What matters is that we learn to be thankful. I've heard people that have lost their children, they said, well, thank God for those 19 years. Thank God that I got to hold them. Thank God that I got to at least have one trip to Disney. And I know we don't always understand why the things that transpire do. But we've got to learn to be a people that begin to cherish the blessing of this day. What I have today. What God has done for me right now. Even if this is my last day with somebody. Thank God for this day. Thank you, Lord, for one more opportunity. Thank you, Lord. This is my last church service. Thank you, Lord, for one more time to be in the presence of God. Around the people of God. Rather than focusing on what's wrong and who's wrong around me. Thank you, Jesus, for this day.
This day is a blessing. Whether it's snowing outside or whether the sun is shining, it's a blessing because God has given me another day to be with those who matter to me most. Thank God for the blessings of this day. In Joshua 24 and 1. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers. Now, he wasn't calling for them to the guillotine, just so you know. Speaking of leadership, for their judges, their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And verse 15 says, he said, if it be seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The statement is made by Joshua at the end of his life, or near the end of his life. Now that matters, because Joshua wasn't complaining that he wasn't doing well. Joshua wasn't complaining that his days were numbered, his days were short. No, Joshua called everybody together, and here's what he did. He said, listen, I know that we all come from different backgrounds, and I know that we all have different lives, and I know that we're all different stages of life. And I know some of you, life's been good lately, and some of you, life has just been terrible lately. And we're all dealing with different stuff. But he said, but listen, regardless, every person, no matter where you're at or where you're going through right now, he said, you got to make a choice. Now, this is important. God, I wish I could preach. And I'm going to tell you why this is important. Because in America, and I'll keep coming back because I don't live anywhere else, and I don't know if it's as bad or not. But in America, you don't preach a tough message if you're not having a good day. Well, Pastor, you're just rude and insensitive. If you knew what I was going through. No, listen, what you're going through is irrelevant to your eternity. What you're going through is irrelevant to you being lost or you being saved. And it doesn't matter if you're having the best day of your life or you're having the worst day of your life. You still got to make a choice today if you're going to keep serving God or if you're going to go back to the gods of your former life. Those things do not change based off of how good or bad my day or my week or my month or my year is. I've still got to make a decision that I'm going to serve the Lord today, that I'm going to take advantage of this day. It's a blessing to be alive today, and I'm going to recommit and rededicate myself today, no matter what's happening in my life. And so, by pulling them all together, there was a statement that was never spoken. We all come from different walks of life, but y'all, everybody's kind of still got to make a choice. Choose this day. This day. Now listen, you got to understand, he's preaching to the choir. We're here at this point. We followed you. We followed Moses. And you're telling us to choose this day? Yeah, because what you choose yesterday is past. You got to choose again today. There are people that chose to serve God the last 3 years, but the next 3 years, they want nothing to do with God. You got to choose this day. You got to choose this day who you're going to serve. You got to choose this day if you're going to go back to living a life of whatever it was before the Lord or if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah. There is no other. You got to choose today. And he said, choose. And so, he is making the same statement at the end of his life. He's saying, even though my days may be numbered, I still choose to serve the Lord. I'm not gonna get mad at God and quit just because I might not have many days left. That'd be foolish. That'd be stupid. That would just be plain outright dumb. The other point is where he makes this statement. He makes it in Shechem. Now, we'll talk about that in a second. I thought the context, which would not be the only place this is isolated to in the scripture, but just for the sake of this, I thought it was very intriguing. Because when he calls them all together, in my own little brain, it's a form of calling them all together, both great and small. The same way we'll stand before God at the white throne judgment, both great and small, everybody. There's no distinction. There's no line. All that matters is, do you know the Lord's voice? And if you do, you got to follow. Don't say you know his voice if you're not following it. And so he speaks to all of them, both great and small. And then he makes this statement, this charge. He does it in Shechem. It was here that Abraham was first received his promises. It was here that God did something divine in Abraham's life. It was here that God delivered Israel, giving them the victory in the promised land. And so the location was no accident. It was a place, they say, of Abraham's covenant. And so what God does, and when he does things, and when he moves on our hearts, it's not by mistake or accident. Sometimes you might feel compelled to get down on your knees and pray, and you might not even realize it, but it may be there that some years ago God spoke to you in that same location. It might be there that some years ago you might have first cried out to God, or you might have, maybe that was a place of rededication or renewed devotion or commitment or anything along those lines. There's something significant. What God does, he does very purposefully. And so this place of covenant, Joshua is calling them to renew their own covenant and to restore their own covenant for those who have broken it up to that point and have lost the meaning and the understanding of the covenant. It was also here that Abraham built an altar of worship before the Lord. In Genesis chapter 35, Jacob told his family right here in Shechem, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. It was there that they buried their idols under the oak tree in Shechem. And so there was so much that was going on at this moment. There was so much that was happening. God, I feel like the Lord would love to speak to some people today. It was there that Joseph's bones were buried. And I'm going to here tell you today, it was right here in this sanctuary that some of you first gave your life to the Lord. It's right here in this sanctuary that some of you renewed your vows before the Lord. It was right here in this sanctuary that some of you were delivered of things as you gave yourself to the Lord. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. It was right here in this sanctuary that God spoke to some of you and gave you promises or gave you renewed commitments. It was right here in this sanctuary that God gave some of you revelation and understanding that you had been seeking. And it's right, what I'm trying to explain to you is this day is not just another day. There's something special about this day that God is trying to speak to the heart. I feel like God is in this day. I feel like God is trying to challenge somebody to renew what's been lost today. Don't step out of this building without going back and taking a good long look at yourself and your life and thank God for the blessings of this day, because some of you will go back and you'll revisit this day and you'll say, this was the day that God pulled me out of darkness that I was slipping back into. This was the day that God began to stir my spirit that had died a long time before. This was the day that God. And some of you, there are some that are sitting here, and I'm sorry that I'm boring you, because you're so detached, but you're so detached because you choose to be detached, not because God is detached. You're detached because you choose to take everything personal and you choose to take everything with offense. I'm going to preach just for a moment, and you choose to look through everything through your own personal lens, and that type of thinking
will damn somebody's soul in eternity if you're not careful. After recounting God's faithfulness, Joshua confronts him with a decision. Three choices that Joshua mentions. The first one is neutrality is impossible. You can't be neutral. That means you got to do one or the other. Let me say it one more time. It's impossible to be neutral. He says you must choose. You must make a choice. You can't walk out in the valley of decision because that is an inadvertent choice. He says you've got to choose. He says the gods beyond the flood, the pagan gods worshipped by Abraham's ancestors, the gods of the Amorites, the idols of the people currently living in the land. He says, or the Lord, Jehovah, the God who delivered and sustained Israel. Let me say it this way, if I may. There's nobody here that can rightfully and honestly say that your previous life before coming to the Lord was better. There's nobody that can. And I feel in the Holy Ghost. Someone just said to me, well, it ain't better now. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. I wish to God you'd be man or woman enough to stand up and raise your hand and say, it was me. You know why it's not better now? Because you choose not to celebrate the blessings of this day. Rather than look at where you are and what God has done to this point, you're still complaining about what isn't. And you're complaining about what's not right rather than giving God the time that you require to turn your life around. Because God only works at our own speed and our own pace and our own desires. He doesn't work beyond that. I have found God to be the most patient that this world could ever ask for. You say, well, you're preaching about choosing. Being patient doesn't mean you don't have to make a choice. It could be, I won't be a whole lot longer. It could be that Joshua, A, either understood that I'm not going to be around long, so I've got to get my point across now. Or it could be that Joshua understood there's people in this congregation that won't be around long, and I've got to get my point across now. I've got to give them. But you know what? But see, we don't celebrate the blessings of the day. We wake up feeling entitled, like God owes me another 30 years. God owes me another 20 years. God owes me tomorrow. But I'm here just to remind you as your friend that God owes you and me nothing. When God found me, I can't speak for you. You can speak for yourself. But when God found me, because I didn't find him, you've heard me say it, and I'll say it, and I don't care if you disagree. You can be wrong. You never found God. He found you. He found us. All we did was respond. That's what we did. And when he found me, I'm going to tell you what he found. He found somebody that was in shambles, in pieces, a wreck and ruin of a life. That's what he found. And when he found me, as a potter always does, he says, I can take this vessel and I can reform it. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Maybe I'm just preaching to me. And see, then I did not understand that I was a marred and broken vessel. But now I look back and I understand, wow, most people would take a broken vessel, get a dustpan and a broom, and sweep it up and drop it in the trash. But not God. He finds the broken vessel. And he says, I can put this together again. I can make something beautiful out of this vessel if they'll just let me. And God, he picks up the pieces where the world has discarded you. He picks the pieces up. And if I could just try to narrate for a moment, he gently carries us from the location that he finds us. And he takes us and he sets, as the Bible says, sets on our feet on a solid rock, on solid ground. He turns our life around and he begins there to reform the vessel.
the patience of a potter. The patience that only God could have. Nobody else showed me that level of patience. My pastor, he's probably more than patient. He should have been with me. But there are times I can assure you, if he could have choked the life out of me, he would have, and rightfully so. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I want to do the same thing sometimes. Just being honest. And so for me today, the blessing of this day is I get to choose again. You ever have somebody who's been married for a while? I mean, I know that's hard to find anymore today. But they have, and they say, if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it again. Well, I stand here before you today, and despite of everything that we may have had to endure or experience, and if I had to do it all over again, I would make the same choice. The day I walked into that church, I had light, almost like whitewashed jeans on, and I had a short sleeve shirt with white and green thick stripes. I'll never forget the first thing I wore when I walked in. And I remember walking back through the doors of that church, and I felt like I'd come home. I felt like I belonged from the moment I walked in there, because that's how the presence of God makes you feel. God makes you feel like you belong. And you can sit there and you can nitpick people apart sometimes and say, yeah, but people don't. Well, maybe you don't make them feel belonging either. It goes both ways. And I have to cover that, because sometimes, again, rather than focus on the blessing of this day, we like to focus on the things that are wrong. And from that day, what God has done in my life, only God could do. Only God could do. So when Joshua makes his declaration, the first thing he ends with is himself. He said, I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I can say this today with all certainty. I know what I wish for you. But no matter what you do, no matter what decision you make, I'm here to proclaim to you, as for me and my house, we will continue to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my children, we're going to be in church on Wednesday, and we're going to be at prayer on Friday, and we're going to be at church on Sunday. I'm not saying you got to do what I do, but I'm just telling you, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But you got to make a choice too. You say, well, I made a choice. Then remake it. Recommit yourself today, because there's something about this spiritual ground that God is calling us to renew something in the spirit before one more moment of 2026 passes away. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Leadership begins with personal conviction. If the leader of the home is not going to have conviction, don't expect anybody else to. And decisions of that magnitude must be intentional decisions. Listen, we may have fell into church, but we will not fall into eternity. We may have rubbed shoulders with the right person and got ourselves through the door, but we're going to stay because of a choice. And the similitude to the title is just this. You won't choose if you don't learn to understand and value just the blessings of this day. You can wake up and you can look at everything that's wrong. You can look at what is not yet fixed, or you can wake up and you can look at the blessing of this day. That's just this day. Just this day. Joshua said, choose this day. He said, you know, we're not worried about tomorrow. We're not worried about next week. We're not worried about where we're headed, but choose this day. And when you learn how powerful the blessing of just this day is, it has a way of making the choice so much easier. First of all, if my life is in disarray and chaos today, I need the Lord.
I need the, I don't know about how you folks pray. I'm just being transparent. But when I pray, I find myself more desperate than I've ever been in my life. I mean, it's almost like when I get in the prayer room, all I can say is, God, I need you. God, I need you. I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you today. God, I need you today. God, I need you. God, did I tell you that I need you? God, I need you. God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need you. Because I've understood this day is another opportunity for me to trust in him with all of my heart. Leaning not into my own understanding, but in all of my ways, acknowledge him. God, you're everything. God, you're every answer. You see the beginning from the ending. God, you know what tomorrow holds. You know what the next 20 minutes hold. God, you know all of it. God, I need you. I need you. Thank God you give me another day to need you. Thank God you give me. So if your world is falling apart, the blessing of this day is what? That he's there. At the very mention of his name. That's why when you speak the name Jesus, hell trembles. I believe it. You can feel a ripple in the atmosphere because there's power in his name. There's power in his name. That's why when I go down in that watery grave in the name of Jesus, something divine happens in my spirit, in my life, because there's power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Maybe today's a great day. Maybe you got big plans after service today. Then I would say, still choose. Choose not to forget who God is to you. Choose not to forget what he has done for you. Choose not to forget where he's brought you from. Choose not to forget that you as well were once broken pieces. Maybe you were raised on the pew. You say, well, that wasn't me. I can't rightfully say I was broken. That's great. That's fine. But as your vessel grew, God shaped you and he formed you. That's scripture. Before we were in his mother's womb, he knew me. And so I'm trying to hurry and finish. The principle Joshua is teaching that every generation must choose. Faith is not inherited. It's not inherited. It has to be decided. I choose this day. You say, that doesn't make any sense. Really? You're going to tell me that you have the same level of faith every day? You're going to tell me that things in your life have not rocked your faith from time to time? Oh, absolutely it has. We choose to have faith. God, I choose, if I'm in the worst place of my life, I still choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. I don't feel like trusting you. I didn't say I feel like trusting you. I said I make a choice today to trust you again, to get me through this day and to get me through this storm. I make the conscious decision to trust you, God. I choose. I choose. And so the verse begins with, choose you this day. Not someday, today. Not a different day, today. Choose. Now listen to me, I'm gonna try and help somebody, I'm finishing. I'm not telling you that you're gonna walk out here and the Thanos is gonna snap his finger and everything's gonna disappear. What I am telling is you might walk out here and you're gonna be in the same quagmire that you were when you walked in. But what I'm saying is you're choosing. Say, God, I'm choosing to stick with it. I'm choosing to stay in the fight. I'm choosing to trust you another day. I'm choosing to hold on another day. I'm choosing not to give up another day. I'm choosing not to give in. I'm choosing not to go back to the gods of my old life. I'm choosing to hold on with everything that I've got in me. I'm making that choice today. And so, the deeper meaning is this, even after witnessing miracles, people can still drift towards other gods. After God doing great feats in your life, it's just easy still to drift away. Look, excuse me, life changes. Directions shift. Things happen. Loss, grief, pain, heartache, uncertainty. Our world, an uncertain, dark place. And so Joshua, despite everything, if you want to stand, I'm finishing. He draws this clear line. You can follow what's around you. You can follow the cultural shift. You can follow your heart, which the Bible says will deceive you above everything else. You can follow other people. Or you can say, I choose this day to serve God one more day. There's no middle ground. And then tomorrow when you wake up, God willing, we all do. You can wake up and the first thing after you stretch and as you're heading to the coffee pot, thank you, Lord. I peeked in the room and my husband's still breathing. My wife's still breathing. The kids are still breathing. Thank God even the cat and the dog's still breathing. I choose this day to serve you another day. That should be our simple, most basic proclamation every morning. Lord, this day, I make a choice. You see, I'm finished here, but again, I remember years ago, someone said to me, I was trying to help them. I saw them drifting, saw them. It's the hardest thing in the world, just watch people over the years drift and slip. And I said something, I don't remember what it was, and I think I said I was praying for you. He said, well, you have to, that's your job. And I said, you're sadly mistaken if you think I have to have a burden. Just because I could probably point to you, a lot of pastors could care less what happens to you once they clock out on Sunday morning at noon or 1 o'clock or whatever. I've had pastors tell me, I shut my phone off. I've had pastors tell me that. I shut my phone off at X amount of time every day. I don't know how you do that. So what are you going to do if someone winds up in the hospital? What do you do if someone dies? Someone has an accident, anything. Someone is desperate. They need your voice. What are you going to do? I said, this is a choice. I may be here by calling, but I choose to do what I do. And I choose to give myself as much as I can and where else I can. I make that choice. Don't you make the mistake and think that God has thrown a lasso around my neck and drugged me along the way in this journey. No, I've made the choice every day. And there have been many days that I've not wanted to get up and not wanted to make that choice. Many days. But today I choose. I choose. I choose. I choose. And I'm just challenging you this morning, and I'm putting this microphone down to choose one more day today to tell God I'm making that choice. God, no matter what is going on in my life, I am calling you as a church together here at this very moment, and I'm saying to you as Joshua did, choose this day who you will serve. Now listen, when you make that choice, You might decide, I'm gonna bring God a sacrifice today. I'm gonna give God a sacrifice of my heart, a sacrifice of my prayers. I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, but I'm gonna offer a sacrifice of praise. You make the choice of your altar. You make the choice of your sacrifice. It all revolves around our choice. Jesus, 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 that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I may say it with a little lisp, but I know the name and I can still say it. Jesus, I make that choice today.
I make that choice today. And tomorrow when I wake up, God, give me the strength and the courage to make the same choice again. And the next day, the same choice again, until you decide to take me out of this life. And I hope when I go, God, I go in the middle of another decision. I choose this day who I will serve. If it's my last day, God, thank you for the blessing of this day. Thank you for the blessing of this moment. Thank you for the blessing of this opportunity. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's just you and him now. Give God your best right now.
In this room, Holy Spirit, move. Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie and set the wrong thing right.
I chose to come to church today. And I'll choose again tomorrow. And I'll choose next week. Today I was tired. I might wake up next Sunday feeling on fire and ready to go. But I'm going to choose every day. Ha! Jesus.
Jesus. Help us to make the right choices, oh God. Help us to make the right choice again today.
In this room, Holy Spirit, move. Because when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie. Set the wrong thing right. Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break. Right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
And grab someone beside you and pray with them right now. If you would, if you don't feel like you should, that's okay. Maybe somebody beside you needs an encouragement. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I believe that you will do it right now. And something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. And I believe you'll get me to it. Yes, I believe that you will do it right now. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. It's when you have your way. Something has to break. And tear down every lie. And set the wrong thing. believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break.
You know, the Bible says that when he opens the books, that's plural, it's not singular, it says he will open the book of life. And then the Bible says that he judges every man according to his works that are written in the books. Those works, that's not working my way into heaven. Those are my choices. You see, I choose to be argumentative with the word. I choose to reject truth as it's presented to me. Or I choose to open my heart and my mind and say, God, show me the truth. Show me the truth. Because I choose to live like him, for him, and to love his word. It's all a choice. Everything's a choice. I want to thank you for, and I'm going to let these folks that are praying still pray, but for opening up your heart and your mind today. I didn't feel any opposition, and I appreciate it. Next, not this Saturday, well, next week, so the 20th, Bishop Sam Emery is going to be with us. He'll be here Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. You say, Pastor, that's a lot. We had a long weekend. I know, you have to make a choice. But Saturday, we're probably going to have him in Ashtabula. So if you feel like you need a break that night, you take it. If you feel like you want to come, you go. Tremendous man of God. Tremendous preacher. He's preached conferences. He's preached general conference. You know him, Brother Cale? And so I want to challenge you. Clear your schedule the Friday night of the 20th to be here for that service. And then he'll be here on Sunday as well. And he'll probably be with us in Conneaut. I have to double check, but we should have him. We'll get a message out. But this is the equivalent to our spring revival. It just seems like we've taken more and more away, and I don't like that. I don't like it at all. And then lastly, Brother Kayo and I have been talking, and we're going to plan a tent revival this year. And so he and his family have felt the liberty of the Lord to go buy a tent, which they've done. And so when we get some details on that, we'll let you know and ask you to be in prayer about that. We have to choose for this to be a year of harvest. Can I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost before I dismiss you? I feel like we have the choice to sacrifice this year to the Lord. That's what I feel. I do. I feel it. And so that maybe some things, I'm not saying don't go on vacation or any of those things. That's not what I'm saying. Because when I'm gone, I don't want you talking about me. But it's all a choice. It's all a choice. In just a little while, I'm going to choose to go to Starbucks. And I'm going to choose to get a bigger latte this time. And listen, I love the Lord with all of my heart. I love and honor all of you. I know sometimes you might not like me, but I care about you and your soul and your family more than anything in the world. More than anything in the world. Brother Jerome closes in prayer, and let those that are praying still pray. We don't want to, I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead and close us in prayer.
Let's close in prayer. Lord, we're so thankful for the word we heard this morning. I pray, Lord, that it doesn't stay at this altar, but Lord, that we take it home with us. And God, that we go into this year, Lord, as Pastor said, Lord, sacrificing more to you, Lord, this year. God, to see what you're going to do in this building, see what you're going to do in our own homes and our own lives. God, we're so grateful, Lord, for what you've done today and what word that you've spoken to us today. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with us the rest of this day and the rest of this week as we reconvene on Wednesday. Lord, be with us then too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.